Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Prophecy at the Midnight Hour. This evening, we want to cover a little bit of administrivia before we get started. And we understand that lots of folks have tried to call in. And so we've carved out a section of this evening's segment from roughly the midnight hour on, where we will try to pick up the phone calls as the callers call in. Last couple of segments, we've been unsuccessful, and I'm not certain if that's a glitch on our end or if it's on the interface side on the radio program. But we will try again, and we'll even run a test segment to see that we can pick up some callers, because we are interested in hearing what the Lord is saying, and we are interested in hearing what you perceive the Lord is speaking to you at this hour. We started, and that's it for the administrivia. We started with Ezekiel 37, starting your prophecy to the four winds. And we built the foundation, and the Lord built the foundation through his prophet Ezekiel, when the priests and the Levites and the house of the Lord was in ruins. And as a refresher, the Lord spoke through Ezekiel by the Holy Spirit and said, "Prophesy unto the Spirit," this is Ezekiel 37, verse 9. "Prophesy unto the Spirit, prophesy, Son of Man, and say to the Spirit, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O Spirit, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army." This was the word of the Lord to Ezekiel in Ezekiel 37, verses 9 and 10. This is the prophecy at the midnight hour to the United States of America. The Lord is calling us to call forth the mighty Holy Spirit, for he is the comforter, the great comforter, the great counselor, the mighty promise from Jesus Christ himself. Mm-hmm. When he said, "I will never leave you or forsake you," he said that if he did not leave, that he would hinder. And thus he left, that the Holy Spirit would come to the church, come to the saints of the Lord, and empower them from on high. This is why John the Baptist said that he was not worthy to even unloosen the sandals, but there would be one coming after him, one that would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so the Lord Jesus showed up on the scene not long after John prophesied the coming of the Messiah. John prophesied, prepare the way. So it is today. We know that the Messiah is at the door. We've read through Ezekiel 34 as the foundation for how wiped out the church really is today throughout the land of the United States of America. And we'll cover that briefly again. But we stand in agreement that in this last few moments of time, that the Lord is commanding us to call upon the mighty Holy Spirit, the great counselor, the mighty God that was given to us, the Holy Spirit. And we reference that his first name is indeed holy. And the church has become very casual with the Holy Spirit and casual in her sin. And she has tolerated mediocrity. We looked at Revelation 3, chapter 14, and we've become the Laodicean church age. And so as we look at Ezekiel 34, which follows, or actually doesn't follow, precedes Ezekiel 37, you can see the desperation in the land where the church is wiped out. She is taking, the shepherds are taking advantage of the sheep. The sheep are wounded and they're not being bandaged and they're not being clothed. And as a brief recap, we'll start at verse 2, Ezekiel 34. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the spiritual shepherds, thus says the Lord God, woe to the spiritual shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you kill the fatlings, but you do not feed the sheep. This was the same command that was given to Peter in the Gospel of John, and the Lord asked him three times, feed the sheep. And this was the call to the shepherds of the land in Israel. This is the call to the shepherds in the land today throughout the United States of America. But as we see, they've become greedy for gain, and their hearts have been hardened and calloused, and the church and the sheep have been fleeced. And the Lord says that they have not looked for the lost, but with hard-hearted harshness, the pastors and shepherds have ruled them. And we've seen it all too many times, whether on radio, TV, print, theater, it matters not. But money always seems to make the mayor run, or the money always seems to make the preacher preach, if you will. And it's become very expensive to become a Christian. And we know that the price has been paid by the blood of the Lamb at Calvary. That's the price. The price that was paid was by mighty God himself, the precious Lamb of God, the blood of the Lamb, the cross, which has been made null and void in the church and replaced with money. We see this throughout Ezekiel 34 in the good news, the prophecy of the midnight hour. The Lord says in Ezekiel 34, verse 11, for thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. So though the shepherds be wiped out, though there not be one stone upon another in the house of the Lord in the United States of America, though there be more people outside of the church than inside of the church, though the sheep be scattered upon the face of the earth, that even though they become a prey for every beast of the field, the Lord says he will seek them out. And we know this is exactly what the Holy Spirit is doing today. And so we call forth from the four winds and from the four corners of the earth and agree with the Lord and agree with his word. For the church has been in disagreement with the Lord for too long. But now we agree and we say, yes, Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. Because the spiritual death clearly precedes the physical death, and we see the spiritual death throughout the four corners of the great United States of America. It matters not what coast, and it matters not what boundary or border. The gospel of prosperity and the gospel of men and the deception reigns rampant in the house of the Lord, so that she is devoid completely of righteousness, devoid completely of holiness. And where those two attributes of the Lord do not exist, there is no power. And so the church is running on a severe power outage. It's worse than a brownout. It's a blackout. And so we agree with the Lord to call forth the Holy Spirit for the great revival that will only come about through national repentance in the United States of America. Because the church and her iniquities and sins may have piled up to heaven. And it is time to agree with the Lord and to repent. And so we started at Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. It was Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. And with all of the background and the foundation, we can take a look and get a pretty good picture of what the current as-is state of the church and the believers, and those that call themselves by his name, what that state is like today in the land of the United States of America. And here at verse 17, the Lord confronts this Laodicean church age. The Lord confronts this Laodicean church in America and says, because you say, I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Clearly, the currency of righteousness is the one that counts for the Lord, not the currency of man. And we have measured wealth in the church in the United States of America with the wrong scales entirely. We have missed and diluted and corrupted the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The as-is condition is miserable. It's poor, it's blind, and naked. And wretched are the sheep. Many are very wretched in addictions that they cannot come out of because there is no power to deliver. It's as though they need to crucify Christ all over again. Naked and exposed with all manner of sins that have overrun the house of the Lord. A hard-heartedness and a coldness where the love of Christ has clearly grown cold. Well did our Messiah prophesy that when he returns, will he find love? For the love of many has waxed cold, and we see that throughout the land. And we've become inured to wealth and work as a sign of spiritual blessing. And material goods, though they are valuable in this world, don't have any spiritual power whatsoever. They do not have the ability to resurrect the dead. They do not have the ability to bring peace or joy, because if they did, all of the wealthy would not be groping about in all manners of addiction and all manners of misery and all sorts of sadness and suicide and depression and antipsychotics, and it goes on and on and on. And so with that, let's take a look at Jesus defining this as is in Matthew, this message that Jesus is speaking to the church today in the United States of America can also be found in Matthew chapter 4. And this is prosperity gospel that appears to be new on the scene. This gospel of the earth, which appears new, is really not new at all. For the enemy's been trying to deceive, and successfully deceiving many in the church for a very long time, for thousands of years. And this is Matthew chapter 4, verses 7. But actually, I take that. Let's go to verse 8. And there Satan says, "Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Away with you, Satan, or get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.' And thus, the kingdoms of the world and all of the worldly things from the prosperity gospel, we can see their root. But it's the same message that the enemy even used to tempt our Lord and Savior. This is the gospel that they have picked up of the kingdoms of the world and not the kingdoms of God. So we can see firsthand just how far the church has fallen, the as-is state, that she is no longer in agreement with the Lord. But the good news, the very good news, is that we have fallen in the land, but the opportunity for repentance is today. For the Lord Jesus commands, and he says in verse 19, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent." Repentance is the roadmap. Repentance is the transition, if you will, from the bondage of agreement with the enemy to the freedom, the power, and the glory, the holiness, and the righteousness to walk with the Lord. It is this hour, and it is at this time, that the Lord is calling the United States of America for national repentance from the four corners of the country, for repentance of sin, to repent from the casual relationships, to repent from the sexual sin, the homosexuality that's in the church and ordained, and the homosexual sin that's throughout the land, and the promiscuity that's within the church, and she has lost the ability to rebuke sin because she herself has been overcome with sexual sin. And she has been overcome with the love of money and the love of the world and wanting and striving and gaining the kingdoms of the world and all along losing the kingdom of God. But hear the Lord, and he says, "Be zealous, therefore, and repent." And so we have very good news from the Lord. For Jesus says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." And this is the message today to the church throughout the land. This is the prophecy to the United States Church at this very moment in time. For we know we prepare for the coming of the Messiah. But how can we prepare if we are naked and our sins are exposed? What sort of garment is the church wearing? For here the Lord says, "I counsel of you to buy from me gold refined in the fire." And there's the fire of the mighty Holy Spirit. And the Lord says, that is richness. He calls that richness. And the white garments, and those are glorious, for those are eternal garments, removing the stained garments that are stained with all the sins and the identity markers of this world and the enemy, so that the church is clothed and the shame of her nakedness is not exposed, So the transition to get from the as-is, the fallen state of the church, the fallen state of the pastors, the rampant sin and the casual relationship with the Lord is through repentance. Jesus gives the clear roadmap. It is not complicated. It's to bring us back into alignment, in agreement with the Lord, and not agreeing with the world. For doesn't he tell us that the flesh is hostile to the spirit, and the spirit is hostile to the flesh? Yet it looks as though the church is completely compromised with the world and completely compromised with the flesh, so that she does not even blush anymore with sin. And with that, I'm going to pause and see if Pastor Rebecca, did you have something you wanted to share?
Thank you, Pastor Lewis. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Our Lord, you are worthy to receive the glory and the honor and power, for you created all things and by your will existed and were created. We were all created by God. We all have a purpose. There is hope. God is showing so much love to us, excuse me, and requiring that we repent and asking us to come and repent, because like a father or a mother who has a little child or even a friend, you don't have to be a parent to understand this concept. If you have a friend that you see is going to fall into a ditch, you try to dissuade them from it and to warn them. And that's what our Father God is doing to us. He is showing great love, great mercy, and giving us great hope that though the as is that we are in a situation that seems very dismal, there is still hope. There is still time. It is not over yet. In Revelation 3, in 19, as Pastor Lou said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. I like 20 because it goes beyond. It's the hope of what we're doing. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne, or on his throne, excuse me. This correlates with Hebrews chapter 12. If you start at verse 1, it's very, very powerful for the 2b. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run the race with endurance that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That is the wonderful, wonderful, glorious promise that we have in Christ, that there is an end to this. There is a hope for now as we move into the 2B, what we need to be as Jesus Christ is the author and finish of our faith, and only he knows the sins that individually beset us so easily, and only you know the sins that individually beset you so easily. Go to Christ. Go to his throne of mercy. Grab upon the horns of the altar with the blood of Christ sprinkled on them, and just speak to the Lord and say, I need your help, Holy Spirit. Please help me. Please come. I do not despise your chastening, Lord. I am not discouraged that you are rebuking me. I see that you love me and that you love only those who you chasten. and that you scourge only the sons, every son, whom you receive. So I know I'm a son. I know that you receive me, a son or daughter of Christ. I know that you're receiving me and that you're doing this for my good. Just as parents might reprimand their children in some fashion, and though at the moment it is not joyous for the child or a boss or whatever, at the moment it doesn't feel too good, but the point is at the end, the hope of it, which is what we're experiencing now, the hope of change, the hope of being the head and not the tail, the hope of growing and maturing in Christ, in holiness, and becoming Christ-like. And that is exactly where we are going to go and where what we are going to become. Do you have anything you'd like to say, Pastor Lou? Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Rebecca, for sharing. In a sentence, 1 Samuel 15:22 sums up, well, what the Lord is saying and what the Lord is calling for as we come and we repent. For the Lord says in 1 Samuel 15:22 through Samuel, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. This was the word of the Lord spoken through Samuel to Saul, who thought to bribe the Lord, who didn't even at that point in time open up an opportunity to repent, but instead he was quick to make excuses for the bleating of the sheep that he had plundered. And the Lord's instructions are simple and very clear. Obedience is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. And so as the church begins the wilderness journey of repentance, for national repentance, the instructions of the Lord are not onerous. And the prophecy to the church is to obey, for it is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of the rams. This is the call to repentance that Jesus speaks to the church of Laodicea.
And also in Hebrews 11, since this is a New Testament, to correlate with the Old Testament of what Pastor Lou just expressed through Samuel. In Hebrews 12:25, it says, see that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. And we are receiving a kingdom, and we are living and changing and listening to a God who inhabits the heavens above the heavens, the highest heavens, holy, hallelujah, holy, holy. He is above the heavens. That is the kingdom that we are seeking, not the transient one that we currently reside in. And that's why we are changing the hope of the promise of inheriting the kingdom of God and being seated on the throne of the Heavenly Father with Jesus Christ as he overcame also.
Amen. That's the glorious to be. The glorious to-be roadmap that the Lord has provided in his word, spoken through John by the Lamb himself, And the rebuke is from our Lord and Savior, a command to repent, and not to cheapen the grace. The point, the Holy Spirit will continue to point us back to the blood and back to the cross and always back to the Lord Jesus. It's not of the world. Our focus will always be to the kingdom of God and to the cross and to the blood, for that's where the delivering power resides. When we offer up the blood of the Lamb into the Holy of Holies as a perfect worship and sacrifice unto the Lord. The as-is state, as we see, is a church in oblivion. It looks like a lunar or Mars spiritual landscape where it is completely wiped out. And the transition that the Lord gives us of repentance and national repentance, which is demanded of and required right now by mighty Jehovah, by mighty God, commanding it over the United States of America, okay. He gives us a roadmap and an actual, not just scripture, but in the scripture itself, the roadmap to get there. And it's very simple and very elegant. And our Lord is bedecked in majesty, and he doesn't overburden his sheep with the complexity as men do.
Amen.
Isaiah 35, verse 8. Isaiah 35, verse 8 is and expounds and explains this transition state. How do we get to where the Lord wants us to be from our current state of where we are in the as-is? And so we begin in the wilderness of repentance, and we begin by walking the highway of holiness. Reading Isaiah 35, 8, just one verse, "And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring man. Though fools, they shall not err therein." This highway of holiness is enabled by the mighty Holy Spirit. He is the one that enables us to walk holy. He is the one on that highway. He is our counselor. He is our guide. He is the one that was sent to us to enable us to walk holy, for he is holy. How can two or more walk together unless they are in agreement? And so it is, Isaiah 35:8. The highway of holiness. And the rest of the scripture, 9, 10, and 11, give excellent road markers for the highway. And with that, Rebecca, did you have something to say?
Yes, thank you very much. You were just saying about 9, and that's the hope that I was just talking about. We are not to have fear. We are not to look at ourselves, because we, within and of ourselves, have no way to approach repentance and change, but the Holy Spirit does it. And it says in 9, "No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. 10, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Hallelujah. The Lord has an end. Yes, it is grievous for us to go through this, but let's pull up our sleeves. Let's dig in and examine ourselves by the light of the Holy Spirit, and let's allow him to divinely change us, to divinely reveal by his light what is it that he is not pleased with, that we may agree with him, dig our hands in, dig our hearts in, dig our minds in, dig our whole beings in, and fling it upon the Lord and his mercy and his grace and his ability through the mighty power of the Holy Spirit to change us and transform us and to become Christ-like.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Rebecca. Okay, there is a caller on a line, and I will, if the caller can hold a few moments, we'll see if the technology works. Okay, and very briefly, that's mighty and powerful because it is the Holy Spirit who enables us. He is the wonderful counselor. He is the one that we need to worship and that we need to praise and that we need to approach, that we need to rely upon, and that we need to depend upon here and now, for that is why he was sent.
Amen.
And so we spend time worshiping and fellowshipping and praising the mighty Holy Spirit. Isaiah 35:8, and real briefly, verse 9 also goes on. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. This is a reminder that only by the power of the Holy Spirit can we even walk there. He protects the path from the lion and the ravenous beast. We've seen the ravenous beast throughout the land in the Church of the United States of America. We have seen them throughout the globe as well. And it's the mighty Holy Spirit who keeps the path clear from the ravenous beasts and the lions. And the redeemed shall walk there by the power of the Holy Spirit. The call to national repentance to get to the end state, if you will, the to be, to rule and reign with the Lord, to come in agreement with the Lord, is to begin with repentance. Is to begin with repentance in the wilderness of repentance and walking the highway of holiness, fellowshipping with the mighty Holy Spirit. And Pastor Rebecca?
Yes. I wanted to add to that, to not be fearful. In Isaiah 35, verses 3 and 4, strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Rebecca. The roadmap to national repentance is in desperate need of implementation in the Church of the United States of America, from the White House all the way down to the Common House.
Amen.
And the Lord is calling us now to act immediately and to begin repenting. To begin repenting on behalf of the land, to begin repenting on behalf of our families, to begin repenting on behalf of our own sins, and to begin walking the highway of holiness. For we know that at any moment the Messiah can return. And we know that all the signs are there. And the time is very, very short to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. And so in this roadmap that the Lord has given us, he speaks it line by line, very simply, in Revelation 3:14 through 21. He gives us the as-is state, and we can't really argue that, for we actually hear those verses being spoken in casual conversation, even in churches, even in business, even in our own homes at times. We also see that given the desolation in the house of the Lord, that there are more on the outside than inside because of the ravenous wolves that have come into the church. And so the Lord says, let us repent and agree with the Lord, and let us repent for the country as well, for the country to prepare for the coming of the Messiah, and for all to have an opportunity to enter. For who knows who will enter. No man knows, and no man knows the day or the hour. But we do know that for all practical purposes, time is over. And we do know that that path, the highway of holiness and the wilderness of repentance, will enable us, the church, to walk in righteousness, to walk in holiness, to have the fire of the mighty Holy Spirit, to walk that highway of holiness, so that we are able to reach that to-be that the Lord has, and to see how far the church has fallen, to see how far we have come in the to-be, the future state. We need to look no further than Acts chapter 2. And we'll get to Acts chapter 2 in just a second, and I'm going to try the technology here and see how it works and pick up a caller. And so, as promised, caller, you are on the air. Can you hear us?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Oh, absolutely. Excellent. Thank you. This is from the 0673 test line?
Correct.
Thank you. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom.
Okay. And we actually do have a working phone line. Excellent. Thank you for the test. Where the church has fallen, this is a dramatic fall in Acts chapter 2. If we take a look at where we are today versus where the Lord intended us to be. And we see in Acts chapter 2, the mighty Holy Spirit come upon the church. The same mighty Holy Spirit that today is not unleashed in the church, lest he take over the service and it come out of the control of the ministers, and the deacons, and the bishops, and the religious devils. Let's read just two scriptures or two verses. They're two dramatic verses that really share the heart of the Lord of the working of the mighty Holy Spirit. And herein, we will find why it is specifically that today we see the absence of the Holy Spirit in the church, and why the religious authorities are so frightened to allow access, to allow the Holy Spirit to roam within the church of the Lord. Verse 1 in Acts 2, and just to verse 2. And in the day of Pentecost being fulfilled, they were all with one accord at the same place. And there came suddenly out of heaven a sound as of a bearing violent breath. In the New King James, it reads, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. I'm reading through Young's literal translation, and he's actually translating it word for word. King James is very close to. But I like this violent breath, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. If we read the rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Let's just stop and see how far the church has fallen, where the Lord is pointing us to. Notice they were in the house. Notice that the mighty Holy Spirit came into the house. Notice also a violent wind, a very violent wind of destructive force, a destructive force unlike planet Earth had ever seen. For on that day, when the mighty Holy Spirit came into that house, the house of the Lord, the entire priesthood of Israel was swept away. So let me repeat that. When the mighty Holy Spirit filled the house of the Lord, that's where the apostles were, the entire established priesthood was swept away. The broom of destruction had swept them away. And now, suddenly, the apostles are filled with the mighty Holy Spirit. And we read on that there were devout men from Jerusalem listening to what was happening. And shortly thereafter, Peter stood up amongst the 11, and he raised his voice, and he began to prophesy and speak the word of the Lord. And he quotes Joel 2:28, the same Joel 2:28 that is occurring today throughout the globe. Although very little signs in the United States compared to many countries, very little signs, we still see the cloud the size of a man's fist. And we see now how far the church has fallen, and that the Holy Spirit, who's come to fill the church, is now no longer allowed in the church. The Holy Spirit has become foreign to the church, and the church has depended on flesh and blood and money and things of the world. But that is not where the church originated, and that was not the Lord's plan. And Jesus certainly didn't leave us with the prosperity gospel, nor did he leave us with earthly things, but he said, power from on high. And here comes the mighty Holy Spirit, a violent wind, and we now have a new order. And the old order and the old priesthood is, for the most part, completely swept away. And one will have to look very diligently in the New Testament to find a scribe or a Pharisee that ministered in the power of the Lord, that ministered in the power of the Holy Spirit. And about the only one that comes to mind would be Paul, who on the road to Damascus ran into Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit filled Paul, and he began to minister. And as Paul said, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. But there aren't many that are seen throughout all of Acts and throughout the rest of the Bible. We see fishermen, we see young men, we see tax collectors, we see all sorts of various people from whether one wants to call them ignominious backgrounds or less than noble backgrounds. Now, the mighty ministers of the Lord. For this was the plan that Christ apostles for the church. This was the Lord's plan that the glory of the latter house would be greater than the former house. And the former house was full of sacrificing and the priesthood and the building and the temple, and once a year going into the Holy of Holies. But the latter is a glorious, we have the blood of the Lamb to walk into the Holy of Holies.
Amen.
We have our hearts as the altar of the Lord. We have, as Pastor Rebecca said, the altar of the Lord sprinkled with the blood of the Lamb, that we can go boldly to that throne of grace, boldly go to the altar and hold those horns and plead mercy and repent. That's the power and the original authority that the church had that she has walked away from. So far has she fallen that she has forgotten that the violent wind has come to toss out all of the old that led to the ways of men. And he brought in the covenant to let us enter into the very throne room of the Lord to offer the blood of the Lamb, that we could walk with the mighty Holy Spirit. And you see Peter ministering, and you see the apostles speaking in tongues. And all of those around in the crowd knew something was real. Something had happened. And as Peter began to speak, the Holy Spirit enabled him to speak to many people at that early morning hour, for the scripture tells us it was the third hour of the day. And this wasn't a one-time event with the Lord, but this was what the Lord was doing at the church. This was the original plan, was for the mighty Holy Spirit to come in and to be the authority. Pastor Rebecca?
When we speak of repentance means to change. And the Holy Spirit, the mighty Holy Spirit that Pastor Lou was talking about, that had changed the way things were done at that time, is now in the process and available also to help us change in the process of time, to become whom God created us to be. Heaven is still open right now. So since heaven is open, let's repent. Let's change. Let's let the Holy Spirit, whatever, if we look at ourselves, if I look at myself, I would just, oh my gosh, I would give up. In all honesty, if I would look at myself and my humanity, my ignorance of the high and holy things that we are not completely aware of, I would give up. And I would say, oh my gosh, I can't do this. I can't do this. But the Lord says not to fear. He says, strengthen your arms and your hands. In essence, dig in. So let's not fear. Let's dig in. Let's repent. And the Holy Spirit will enable us to do what we thought we could never do. He will empower us by his mighty power to do that which we are not able to do. We are dead man's bones right now. We are speaking by the power of the Holy Spirit for the reviving of those dead man's bones in the United States of America, that they would be strengthened, that they would not be feeble, they would not be fearful and wobbly, but they would be strong, standing on the blood of Christ, the sacrifice of what Jesus did on the cross, and standing in the power of the Holy Spirit, according to the Joel 2:28 revival, and that we would be all formed together, the sinews, the bones, the ligaments, the tendons, everything will be put back together so that we would be strong men and women of the Lord in Jesus' name in this time. Thank you, Pastor Lord.
Amen. As we read through Acts 2, we reach verse 38, and here it is again. This is the call to repentance, and listen to what Peter says carefully. Acts 2, verse 38. Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So here we have today, the Lord our God is calling, and he knew well in advance, spoke through Peter to all those who are afar off, not just children and children's children, but afar off. This is the same mighty Holy Spirit. And while there is doctrines of devils and dispensations, and have forgotten that our God changes not, for he does not change. The same God yesterday, today, and forever.
Hallelujah.
His holiness does not change, and the church has missed that too, fairly miserably. And for she has changed the holiness of the Lord into something common, and the Lord says, repent. Repent for the remission of sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For today, at this final hour, who can possibly walk the highway of holiness without the gift of the mighty Holy Spirit? Who could possibly walk it with all of the temptations, all of the sins and all the things that we see here in the United States of America. There's TV, and there's movies, and there's advertising, and even if you don't do any of those, and everyone should throw their TV out, no one should be seeing any Hollywood movies, it's all from the pit of hell. Even if you remove them all, and we have, even with that, you can't even walk into a store and not be bombarded with images. You can't even pick up a news wire and not see salacious images or titillating images that are just sprinkled everywhere. One can't go out, even on a casual walk, in any city in the United States of America, for all forms of modesty have been lost outright. And now it's who can be the most vulgar, who can be the most reprehensible, who can dress the trashiest or the most seductive. And that's even made its way into the house of the Lord. And so how can anyone walk with all the distractions, all the entertainment, all of the things that the eye see, without the power of the mighty Holy Spirit? And so we see in Acts chapter 2, so it is today. And with great violence, the mighty Holy Spirit is bringing down the old and removing the latter house, the former house. Because this latter house is even greater, the Lord says. And that's the word of the Lord to the church, and a great promise as well to the church in the land of the United States of America. He's given us the roadmap to national repentance, a simple roadmap in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Again, a very elegant, simple roadmap in Isaiah 35, starting at verse 8, the highway of holiness. For the Lord has not made it complicated for his sheep. He's promised us in Ezekiel 34 that he would seek his sheep out. And that he is the mighty Holy Spirit. For all those that are willing to repent and walk in agreement with the Lord. For it's the Holy Spirit who shows us where the sin is in our life, that we can even repent. But as we saw in 1 Samuel, we need to be, and the Lord is calling the church to be obedient in the small things as well. And just flat out obedience. It's better than sacrifice. It's better than the convolutions that you see that are taught to bless me with this if I sow that, to give me this if I get that, and treating the Lord almost as a vending machine or a slot machine of blessings. And that's an abomination under the nostrils of the Holy Lord. Pastor Rebecca, you had something.
Yes. We're nearing the end of this hour. And I wanted to send out an invitation to all of our listeners. For those who have not received Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of their life, that you would just say this prayer. Heavenly Jesus, I am a sinner, and I have done wrong and sinned against you and only you, sinned against God, and I ask that you would cleanse me. I invite you into my heart. I ask you would cleanse me. Fill me fresh and anew with your Holy Spirit so that I may live on the highway of holiness and walk on the highway of holiness and learn how to become Christ-like. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Amen. We'll cover the second portion of the roadmap to national repentance on the next segment as the Lord leads, and we will continue the roadmap as the Lord leads. And all that are listening would spend a moment in time with the Lord for repentance and to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and to turn away from our sins, to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. For the Messiah is at the door. Amen. And too long has the church been casual, and too long has she taken salvation for granted. And we pray that your spiritual ears are open and that your spiritual eyes are open. In Jesus' mighty name, shalom, shalom.
Shalom.